Hebrews chapter number 2. Closer to the end of the Bible is the book of Hebrews. Hebrews chapter number 2. I'd like us to read just one verse, have a word of prayer. I knew that my preaching time would be short. I know that we'd had the report of Mexico. Didn't want to speed that up. Also, I know we have the Lord's Supper at the end of the service, so I'm aiming to preach short. I know I've said that before. I'm trying. Hebrews chapter 2, let's read together verse number 1. Again, Hebrews 2 and verse 1. Therefore, we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. Let's have a word of prayer. Father, we're thankful for each one that's here. Thank you, Lord, for the privilege that the Lowen family had to go back and visit a place they've invested their hearts into. And Lord, we pray that the results of that effort would be long-term. Pray that many that had not yet heard the gospel, now that they've heard it, would get saved. Pray that some that maybe drifted away from church would be faithful back in church. Lord, I pray to help us tonight. I know the time is shorter. And yet, Lord, I think this is important for the hour. And I pray that we would give our full attention to the word. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. If you were with us last Sunday, we just began preaching from Hebrews. Just started. In fact, last Sunday was introducing Hebrews. And we really answered four questions. Who is the human author? I know it doesn't say it clearly in the text. We have every reason to believe it was Paul. Second question, who was the intended audience? Now, folks, we read all the Bible. There's no books of the Bible that we don't read. But this was written to Hebrews, ultimately. The third question, what was the approximate date? Well, it was after Calvary, and it was before 70 AD when that temple was destroyed. Finally, what's the theme that's addressed? And we found last week that really Hebrews was written to two different groups of people. One group of people is those that were not yet saved, who still had all that Jewish ritual and religion. And it was to get their attention that there is something available in Christ that's far better. Having said that, the book of Hebrews was written to a second group, those that had become Christians. And for whatever reason, we're thinking, I sure miss that old Jewish religion. And we're actually thinking of going back. To those people, the writer said, don't go back. What we have in Christ is so much better. And of course, the application for you and I is this. Do you know when you first get saved, you're very excited about being a Christian? But sometimes events come in our life that we begin to lose some of that excitement. And the devil tempts us to go back. And Hebrews says, don't go back. And see, with that, preacher, what are we looking at tonight? Again, I knew my time was short, but this is my title. Sobering warnings found in Hebrews. Sobering warnings found in Hebrews. You know that if you buy an item, if you buy a product, it comes with a manual. And normally in that manual, the beginning of the manual talks about all the benefits of that item. And so most manuals that come with a product talk about the benefits of it. But inevitably, before you finish that manual, it gives you warnings. And that's why it says right at the beginning, don't use this product unless you've read through the entire manual. You've probably heard of some of these crazy warnings. There was a warning printed on a carton of eggs, and the warning said this product may contain eggs. Folks, it's crazy. There was on a instant noodle package, it said will be hot after heating. That's crazy. On a package of pencils, it said they may be sharp after sharpened. Folks, that's a crazy warning. On a box of Christmas lights, it said, for indoor or outdoor use only. Well, where else could you use them? On a clothes iron, I like this one, on a clothes iron it said, never iron clothes while they are being worn. On a fireplace, it said, caution, risk of fire. On a food processor, it said, never remove food or other items from the blades while the product is operating. That's a pretty good warning. On a car windshield, sunshield cover, you know, when you park it, it had this warning, do not drive with sunshield in place. On a child's scooter, had this warning, this product moves when used. They wrote on a carpenter's drill, this is not intended for use as a dental drill. On a chainsaw, it had actually two warnings, do not hold the wrong end of the chainsaw, and do not attempt to stop the chain with your hands. On a small lawn tractor, had this warning, avoid death. That's all they could give you. And then, I like this one, on a child's baby stroller, it had this warning, remove child before folding. Now, those are warnings. And you say, preacher, why would anyone be... Obviously, those companies had been sued because somebody that the elevator didn't quite go to the top used that product in such a way. And the manufacturer included those warnings to protect the manufacturer. The book of Hebrews has some warnings to protect the people that are reading it. And so again, I'd like to look very quickly at some sobering warnings that are found in the book of Hebrews. Let's begin there with Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 3. Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 3, the writer says, how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation? Do you know that's the very first warning that we find here in the book of Hebrews after the writer, we think it's Paul, after Paul took the entire first chapter to write how great it was that Jesus Christ, the Son of God, left heaven, came to this earth, was nailed to the cross of Calvary to pay for our sins. His first warning is don't neglect salvation. Look at it again in verse 3. How shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation? If you're keeping an outline, the very first sobering warning found in Hebrews is against denying. Against denying. In other words, Jesus Christ came from heaven to this earth to die for us. Since we know that, the Bible says, for the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. 1 Timothy 1 and verse number 15, Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. Can you imagine hearing the gospel? Can you imagine learning that Jesus came to save our souls? Can you imagine sitting under preaching or opening a gospel tract and hearing that God loved you so much that he sent his Son to die on the cross to pay for your sins and yet not get saved? Folks, that's unbelievable. That's as unbelievable as telling someone that buys a stroller, take the child out before you fold it. We laughed at that. It's worthy of laughing when you realize that Jesus gave his life to die for our sins, and yet to deny salvation. Pastor, why is it? Now, it's one thing if you never heard the gospel. That'd be a tragedy to never hear the gospel. Folks, that's why it's so important for us to be faithful getting the gospel in our town. I know that there are people that have heard the gospel over and over and over again, but some in this town have never heard it. And it's our duty to take the gospel because by chance, if someone's never heard it, they ought to hear it. But having said that, Pastor, why is it that some people that hear the gospel deny salvation, say no to getting saved? I think it's because for some, they never heard a clear presentation of the gospel. I think that for some, they think they're okay without salvation. I think that some that don't get saved can't imagine that salvation could be that easy. I think that some that don't get saved, their excuse is hypocrites in the church. if he calls himself a Christian, if that's Christianity, I don't want it. I think that some don't get saved because they confuse having religion with having salvation. I say to you, there's a lot of reasons why people hear the gospel and don't get saved. But that's the first warning. Again, the very first warning in the book of Hebrews is against denying. You know, the word salvation, I don't want to get hung up on this. The word salvation in the Old Testament often is not talking about an individual salvation. Now, before you write me off as a heretic, 119 times in the Old Testament, we find the word salvation. And many times that word salvation is used in a national sense. Israel is facing some kind of an enemy, and they're praying that God would save them. They're not talking about the individual soul. They're talking about a nation. When the nation of Israel there in Exodus was standing before the Red Sea, Moses said, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. That's not salvation as we know it. And you know that many times Israel was saved out of a present issue. And then they faced another battle just a month later, a year later. That's why, look there, if you would, in Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 3. How shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation? That's talking about a soul's salvation. And the salvation that we are offered in Jesus Christ is so much better because it's eternal. It not only is a temporary thing. Again, the very first warning is against denying. And that's having never trusted Christ as your Savior. Quickly, I give you a second one. Look at Hebrews 3. Hebrews chapter 3. Say, preacher, why warnings? Every manual comes with a warning. These are warnings in this great manual. There's no greater book in all of the Bible that magnifies Jesus Christ than this book of Hebrews. And yet they're come with warnings. The second one, Hebrews 3 and verse 12. We read there, take heed. So there's another warning. Take heed, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. The second warning is not to those that won't get saved. That was already dealt with in the first warning. This is now to a people that have gotten saved. This is now to a people that have placed their faith in God. And yet we read there again in Hebrews 3 and verse 12, take heed, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. These people have placed their faith in God. And yet, you know, God's plan for your life is far more than just getting saved. God wants you to get saved, and then God wants you to begin that walk with Jesus Christ. He wants to take you through different steps and different stages. Maybe he will take you through some valleys you never imagined. Maybe he will take you close to the precipice of a difficulty that you never thought he would. But if you'll just continue walking with God. See, preacher, what's God up to? No idea. Listen, no idea. No idea what's happening. No idea. All that I can do is trust God that God knows what he's doing. Now, you might not deal with this. You might be dealing with something completely different. The second warning is, listen, you have to continue to have faith. The same kind of faith that you needed to trust God as your Savior. Now you have to continue to have that faith as he leads you in a path through this life. He said, don't lose faith. Don't lose your faith that God knows what he's doing. Again, the very first warning was a warning against denying. That's denying the Lord as your Savior. But the second warning, if you'd write it, is against departing. It's against departing. In fact, he used that word there in verse 12, in departing from the living God. How many Christians do we know? They trusted Christ. And as they began to walk this Christian life, God allowed some difficulty into their life they never imagined would happen to them. They lost their faith in God, and they departed from having a confidence that God was in control. The second warning we find is in departing. Do you know that there are 22 specific times that that nation of Israel, as they were wandering, 22 times that they murmured against God? They said, "We want water, we want water." Not long after, "We want bread, then we want meat." Then they said, "We don't want this meat, we don't want this bread." They say, "Moses is too hard, the way is too hot. He's taking us a difficult way. Friends of the past have left us, we're feeling so alone." I'm saying to you, the second warning is warning against departing. And that's not following through with God's will for your life. Again, the whole Hebrews is don't go back. Don't go back. Don't go back. I give you a third thing quickly. Look there in Hebrews 5 and verse 11. So the first warning is against denying. That's never trusting Christ as your Savior. The second warning is against departing. Not following all the way through God's will for your life. Third warning, and I'm giving you four total. Third one, Hebrews 5 verse 11. Hebrews 5 verse 11, of whom we have many things to say and hard to be uttered, seeing ye are dull of hearing. The word dull. You know what? We use that word dull when we talk about a pencil. We use the word dull when we talk about a knife. We use that word dull when we talk about a blade or talk about a tool. The word dull suggests at one time was very sharp. At one time, it could very easily do the task it was designed to do. But through time, that once sharp item has now become dull. It can no longer achieve what it was designed to do. That's dull. Notice what it is in the text that's getting dull. Hebrews chapter 5 and verse 11. He says, of whom we have many things to say and hard to be uttered, seeing ye are dull of hearing. So somebody at one time that could hear very well is no longer able to hear like they once did. Things are muffled now. Things are garbled now. It's true. Some of us, hope it doesn't happen to you. Some of us, the older we get, it's getting harder to hear. And you say, well, preacher, you got it made. You got hearing aids. Yeah, you'd think that's true. But you know, when I turn the volume on my hearing aids, everything gets louder. So we're in the car traveling, and I've got the news on. You say, well, just turn it up. Okay, I turn it up. The wind's louder. The whistling's louder. The car tires are louder. Everything's louder. First time I got hearing aids, I was walking down the hallway here, and I thought, what on earth is it? It was my shoelaces that were banging against my shoes. That sounds funny to you, but I sat in my office, and I heard something. I thought, what's running? What? It was the pump on the water fountain. I could hear it from my office. What is wrong with these things? Well, they'd always made those sounds. I just could never hear quite that well before. Do you know the older you get, the hearing starts to get dull? You know what the third warning is? The third warning in Hebrews is against decreasing. Against decreasing. What does that mean? You can no longer hear the Lord like you once did. The saddest thing I've ever had been told as a pastor, and I've had it told me as a pastor, Pastor, God isn't speaking to me through the preaching anymore. Pastor, God isn't speaking to me through my Bible reading anymore. Pastor, God isn't challenging my heart anymore. It'd break your heart if you're a pastor that God is no longer speaking to someone's heart through your preaching. That breaks your heart. I want you to look real closely at what's said here in Hebrews 5 and verse number 11. Hebrews 5 and verse 11, of whom we, whoever's writing, have many things to say and hard to be uttered, seeing ye are dull of hearing. Do you understand from verse 11, it's not the failure on the part of the preaching. From verse number 11, it's not the failure on the part of the writing. It's a failure on the part of the hearing. These people are no longer hearing God. God's still speaking, but they're no longer hearing. And I say to you, the third warning is a warning against decreasing, meaning you're no longer hearing from God. Your ability to hear is decreasing. It ought to alarm you if you can read a chapter of the Bible and God doesn't give you something. It ought to alarm you if you sit in a church service, service after service after service, and somewhere in those services, God isn't speaking to your heart. Listen, I've had someone in the last year that has sat in my office, preacher, we decided to go to another church. I said, well, it breaks my heart. Why'd you say that? He said, God hasn't spoken to me in during a service in a year. And I said, well, where are you going then? And he told me where he's going. Good church, good church. And I said, that's great news. That's a great preacher. I said, imagine you must be thrilled that now you're hearing God. He said, no, I'm still not. Well, could I give you a little bit of simple math? If you sit under one preacher and God's not speaking to your heart, and you move to another church to sit under another preacher and God still isn't speaking to your heart, and you move to a third church and there God isn't speaking to your heart, it might not be the preachers. It might not be the teachers. It could be your heart. Let me follow that. Now come on, folks. You can blame somebody else for why you're not hearing God, but it could very well be you have become dull of hearing. That is a crisis in a Christian's life. And so I would make that a top priority if in your life you're no longer hearing from God. I say to you, the third warning that we find is against decreasing. This dullness, it's not usually a problem with a new Christian. New Christians are excited about everything. I mean, they're excited about the announcements. They're certainly excited about the food. They're excited about everything. But it's normally an older Christian. It's someone that's been saved for a while. They've gotten used to a routine. Now look again at Hebrews 5, verse 11. Then we'll go to the last one when we're done. Of whom we have many things to say and hard to be uttered, seeing you're dull of hearing. Verse 12, for when for the time ye ought to be teachers. So this someone's been saved for a while. They ought to, by the amount of time they've been saved, they ought to now be teaching someone else. For when for the time ye ought to be teachers, ye have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and are become such as have need of milk and not of strong meat. For everyone that useth milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But strong meat belongeth to them that are full age. But listen, if you're a new Christian, I'm going to use a Kleenex word. If you're a new Christian, you probably aren't dull of hearing, because you probably are on the edge of your seat about everything you hear. God bless you for it. If you've been saved for a while, if you've been saved for years, if you've been saved for decades, that's the one that's likely decreasing in their ability to hear God because it's just become a routine. I know what he says. It's your hearing that's got dull. Listen, I've had some people give this compliment, Pastor, I think the preaching's been better than it's ever had. Then how can someone else say, God's not speaking to my heart anymore? It's a heart issue. I give you the fourth thing. I'm done with this. I said I'd try fast. I'm not working very good at it. Look there in Hebrews 10. Hebrews 10. And I cut it down to four. Congratulations, Pastor. Look there in Hebrews 10. For if we sin willfully, after that we have received the knowledge of the truth, there remaineth no more a sacrifice for sins. Do you know, all four of these verses that we looked at are places that people get hung up in Hebrews. And so that's why we're hitting them head on by being warnings. Do you know the fourth warning here is somebody who knows the truth, but they ignored the truth. In fact, look again, verse 26. For if we sin willfully after that we have received the knowledge of the truth. This is not talking to somebody that didn't know that God said it was wrong. And folks, I could go on a long list of things that God says are wrong. But we'll set the list aside. I'd rather the Spirit of God convict your heart about whatever it is in your life, just like I need Him to convict me whatever it is in my life. If the Spirit of God and the Word of God have already pointed out in your heart, God says this is wrong, then you have the truth on that subject. If after having the truth on that subject, you still go ahead and do that thing anyway. Look at the end of verse 26. So I'll look at it all again. For if we sin willfully, after that we have received the knowledge of the truth, there remaineth no more sacrifice for sins. I don't claim to understand all that, and we're not even going to deal with all that. He is just saying, if you're taking notes, the fourth sobering warning is found in Hebrews. That's against despising. That means God's told you clearly God's opinion of whatever the thing is. And you despise what God has clearly told you. Well, I don't see anything wrong with that. Others are doing it. Pastor, I know others in the church that are doing that. Preacher, there's a lot of Christians. It's regardless. It doesn't matter if I do it. If God says it's wrong, it's wrong. And when you and I despise what God has already said about a thing, and we go plunging headlong in it anyway. He said there at the end of that verse number 26, there remaineth no more sacrifice for sins. Again, we're going to touch that. But there are some Christians that they throw up their nose against what God has clearly said is wrong. They go ahead and do it, and they convince themselves, if I have a change of mind, I can fix it anytime I want. That is not true. You know, you can engage in a practice, in an act, in a deed, in a path of wickedness, and to say that I can turn around anytime I want, that warning says you can. There's a lot of people that have said, well, I can just do what I want, and if it doesn't turn out the way I thought, I can turn that around and change it. That was verse 26. Look at verse 27. But a certain fearful looking for of judgment and fiery indignation, the only thing we can be sure is that God's going to deal with that. Look at verse 28. He that despiseth Moses' law died without mercy under two or three witnesses. Notice that word despise again. I say the fourth warning in Hebrews is against despising. You know, I'm going to say this because I got it written here. Do you know the four best friends you've got? First of all, a Bible. That's the best friend you got. But it's not much of a friend if you don't read it. But a Bible. Second friend that you have is a Bible church. So a church that you attend that's not just a social organization, but opens up the Word of God, and a church that says, thus saith the Lord, a church that's doing everything it can to keep the world out. Folks, we're not going to have much an effect on the world. Devil's pretty well got it. We're going to try to pull one sinner at a time out of there. We can't do much for the world. But if you have a Bible, you've got a friend. If you have a Bible preaching church, now I'm going to say this because it's on my notes, if you have a Bible preacher, you got a friend. And if you have Bible-believing friends, listen, don't be yes friends. Your friends come to you and talk about some evil thought, evil deed, evil agenda. Don't yes them. Best friend you can is challenge them. You know what this world wants, and you know sadly what a lot of Christians want? They want a license to do whatever they want to do. And so some Bible preacher opens up a Bible and he says, well, this is what the Lord says. And they're mad at him. I say to you, the fourth warning is a despising. Going ahead and doing what God's told us not to do. Bible says, therefore, to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. And so you know what? If you attend a Bible preaching church where the Bible's constantly opened, you have a lot to give an account for. It might be that there's people that attend a church, they never hear that kind of preaching. But you have. J. Wilbur Chapman, a great, great preacher, years ago, talked about a preacher friend of his. His name was a Dr. Howard, a preacher in Australia. He was known for preaching strongly against sin. Well, after one particular preaching service, there was one of the officers of the church came into his office, and he said, Pastor Howard, we don't want you to talk as openly as you do about man's sin. We don't want you to talk about guilt for sin and corruption of sin. Because if our boys and girls hear you discussing those subjects, they might just want to become sinners. Instead, why don't you call those things, instead of calling them sin, why don't you just call them a mistake? Don't call them sin anymore. You know, he got up from his desk while the other man was across the desk at another chair, and he pulled off of his top shelf, he pulled a small little bottle. And the label on that bottle, it said strychnine. If you know strychnine, it's poison. And it said strychnine. Underneath that title, in bold red letters, it said the word poison. And this Pastor Howard said to this man, do you know what you're asking me to do? He said, you are asking me to change the label. So he said, suppose I do that. Suppose over top of this strychnine poison label, suppose I change the words and put essence of peppermint. He said, what do you suppose would happen? And he said, I know what'll happen. The milder I make the label, the more dangerous I've made the poison. And he said to this man, who was a faithful officer of the church, he said, if you're looking for a church that's wanting to change labels, he said, there's plenty of churches in this town that'll do that. And he said, they are changing the labels because they're trying to attract naive minds into their assembly. But because of softer labels, too many of God's people are now partaking of those very sins. He said, sir, the problem is not the naming of sins. The problem is the despising of the warning. Do you know the fourth warning? It's against despising. When God says, thou shalt not, we can't change that. We can just receive that. Now, the first warning, again, was denying. That's denying the Savior. That's an entire warning all by itself. But could I say that these other three, number two, three, and four, if you reverse them, talk about a path that many a Christian is taking. First of all, they are despising what the Word of God says. And so when the Word of God is preached, they say, I don't believe that. And they'll give you 110 reasons why they don't believe that verse, although God has written that verse. Well, after they continued to despise the Word of God, for some mystery, they can't hear God like they once did. And you know, after they no longer hear God like they once did,
It's not long before they depart from the path that God has planned for them. You know how to stop from departing from the path that God has for you? Make sure that you're hearing God. And you know how to make sure that you're hearing God? When God's word says no, don't change it to a maybe. Don't change the label. Except when God says no, don't despise that. Let's pray. Father, we very quickly, and I didn't do it as quick as I'd like, we looked at four warnings in the book of Hebrews. Lord, would you please help us? If there is somebody that has never heard the gospel of Jesus Christ, or they need to get saved, now we'd love to take a Bible and show them about salvation. Lord, these other three warnings are really steps. And I think the very first step is when the Bible somewhere says, thou shalt not. There are people that don't like that, and so they just plunge headlong and do it anyway. And after despising what God's word so clearly says, it's not long before they're no longer hearing from God. They're dull of hearing. It decreases what amount of God's voice they hear. And it's not long after that they're dissatisfied with the path that God's given them. And they're looking for a different path. Help us, Lord. Every word of God is pure. Every word of God is true. Lord, whether we like what the word of God says or not, it would not be wise to despise it.